What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again for some to talk about something that's central, I would imagine, to all our lives, unless one is an utter vulgarian, that being the tea bag.
Yes, indeed, Sean. Do you tea bag or tea leaf?
I tea bag.
You're a bagger.
I'm a bagger. I do enjoy
a good. To look at you.
I do enjoy to be given a good tea bagging. And I recommend right now people Google what that means and find out it means something completely different.
Just don't Google images.
No, actually, yes, indeed not.
Yeah, we are a nation of teabaggers, let's be frank about this. It's amazing to think, though, that in an Irish context, at least, the teabag is relatively modern. And the reason I know this is because, first of all, the reason I'm talking about the teabag is because... it's the 120th anniversary of the teabag.
Okay.
I only found that out once I started researching it. So I don't think there's that many people celebrating it. But the thing about it in an Irish context, Sean, is bizarre, is even when I was talking to my parents the other day, they didn't have teabags growing up. They weren't popular. The first mention I could find of a teabag in an Irish news in the Irish newspaper archive, it was 1957, right? And this was from an article in the Irish Independent. And I wanted to start with this because I think it gives us a sense of what an alien object a teabag was to Irish people in the 1950s. The article says, "Each bag made from odourless, tasteless, high-grade filter paper contains enough tea for 3 or 4 cups." So that means you're reusing the tea bag for 3 or 4 times. Some people still do that. "The bag goes unopened," it says, "into the pot. And after 5 minutes, the tea is ready for drinking." So what we can ascertain from this article in the Irish Independent from the late 50s is that the writer feels obliged to actually explain how a teabag works and what it's used for.
Hmm.
So that tells me that the teabag is something that was very much not in common use at that time.
Yeah, and which was, I suppose, maybe teabags were more expensive or people didn't trust them.
Yeah, I think there's certainly an ingrained snobbery about tea bags. A lot of people still don't use tea bags because they feel that tea leaves are better and they prefer to have their mouth full of that
tea leaves. Yeah, that whole thing. It's more intricate. You need the strainer and, you know, all
that
stuff.
It's a whole palaver.
And the mouthful of tea leaves at the end of a cup of tea is disgusting.
It's horrible, And you can't finish the cup either because there's all the silt at the bottom.
Yeah.
But, like, I was talking to my dad about this the other day and he was remembering that when he was growing up, they didn't have a tea bag in the 1940s and 1950s. But what most people had was a tea strainer spoon. Okay. Now, I had never heard of this before, but apparently every household in the country had one of these. It looked like a teaspoon. Okay.
Mm.
But the end of the spoon, the head of the spoon, was enclosed on both sides. So it was almost like an enclosed egg at the end of a teaspoon.
Right.
And that was pierced with tiny, tiny holes in it. So it was on a hinge. So you opened the end of the teaspoon, put your tea leaves in, closed it with a clasp, and then you put that in your mug and pour it over boiling water if you're making tea for one.
Oh.
And the tea leaves were not able to escape from this contraption, but the tea at the same time was able to infuse when the boiling water was poured over it. Brilliant invention. Don't know where it's gone.
Yes. That's so clever. It's essentially a kind of a metal tea bag in a way.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. And it comes full circle for us with this story, really, Sean, because the very first tea bag, which was designed 120 years ago, was also reusable in this sense. And it took me a couple of days of kind of sleuthing to try and figure out exactly what this contraption did, right? It was invented by two women from the city of Milwaukee in Wisconsin, in the northern United States, on the border there with Canada. And they filed for patent in 1901. They finally got the patent in 1903. But what they were doing, these two women, was Roberta Lawson and Mary Mallorin, I should give them their names, they patented a contraption called the tea leaf holder. And I went to the US patent office to try and see if I could get the original wording on the patent, and that gave me a sense of how this contraption worked, because it never went into production. This was very much a concept. But they still came up with the idea. Was that it was it was made with cotton thread gauze, okay, or a kind of a mesh, okay, but it was on a wire frame. So they described it as a tea pocket. So it's almost like a pocket with a wire frame around it, so that it had shape, the shape of the cup. And you dipped that in your mug, and then you poured the tea from the tea caddy into the tea bag, and then you poured the water over it. When you were finished, to be honest, it's like a modern coffee machine. So it's like a filter, right? A reusable coffee filter. So when you'd finished with your tea, you took it out and you washed the tea leaves out of the tea bag, and you kept it for the next time you wanted to make a cup of tea. So the tea never came in a tea bag pre-prepared for you. You had to make the tea bag yourself. Does that make sense?
Yes. How big was this tea bag? Was it the size you'd recognise today?
Absolutely. The same size as today, because it had to fit in a cup.
Right. A bit fecky, though. I mean, and fiddly to deal with. You might as well just use your metal contraption.
Absolutely.
Really.
But what we should remember is that this is the tea bag. You've absolutely hit the nail on the head there, Sean. It was finicky, but this is pre the age of convenience. And this series, Stuff That Changed the World, it often balances on the idea of the age of convenience of the late 1950s and early 1960s, when so many household goods became popular. But pre the 1950s, people were happy to take time making a cup of tea.
Yes.
You know, they were happy to do a lot of things that we are not happy to do nowadays, that we think are a waste of time.
Oh, yeah. When we could be doing, you know, we could be on Twitter.
Yeah. Right? God, I know. How dreadful would that be? But I think that's important. And when the tea bag did become popular from the 1950s onwards, it was marketed very much as something which made your life more convenient. And it was all down to a tea importer in the United States as well. The story of the tea bag is quite American in many ways, really. It was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Sullivan. And kind of happened by accident, because the women in Wisconsin, their idea never took off. They were the first to patent, as I said, but it never went to mass manufacture. Thomas Sullivan, he started sending samples of his teas to well-known people, to influencers of the day, so to speak. This was 1908, and he was sending his samples in these beautiful little silk pouches. And people didn't know what to do with these silk pouches, so they threw them in the mug and poured tea over them, and the tea infused, and they liked it.
Yeah.
And so there was a demand for something that he accidentally created. So he started putting the tea in gauze bags, because the tea didn't strain very well in silk. And then eventually he realized that was too expensive, and he was the first person to use filter paper for a tea bag. So the properly disposable tea bag was the brainchild of this Thomas Sullivan in 1908. From there, things took off. But the really important thing, I think, Sean, that we should mention is the machinery that made the tea bag as popular as it is today. And it's a curious piece of machinery. It's called the CTC machine. I'd never heard of this before, right? The CTC is the crush, tear and curl machine.
That's way scarier than C. Yeah. Yeah. The crush, kill, destroy machine.
I know. The crush, tear and curl fixer man is here to fix that machine. So this is a machine that had a series of cylindrical rollers with lots of terrifying sharp teeth on it.
Mm.
So you put your tea leaves into this, and the tea leaves are rolled and they're crushed and torn and cut and all the rest. And you're left with these kind of tiny little pellets of tea leaf. If you ever look at the, if you ever open a tea bag, it's actually quite interesting to see what's inside. You'll very quickly realise whether you've bought an expensive tea bag or a cheap tea bag. I remember when I was living in London many years ago, and I didn't have much to spend on groceries, and I went to a very cut price grocery store one day, and I bought their yellow label tea bags.
Mm.
And one of the tea bags was broken in the box, and it was like dust so fine inside that tea bag, you know. Whereas if you buy an expensive tea bag, you'll notice that the you can actually see bits of tea leaf in the tea bag, you know. So that's the difference. So this machine really lent itself to making tea bags because the leaves that were crushed and that were put into it, they quickly gave this very, very dark brew. And quickly is the important point there, because it brings into question, well, how long do you allow a tea bag to infuse? And people have very strong opinions about that. I don't know how you do it yourself, Sean.
I'd like it reasonably strong, yeah. But I give it a bit of an old poke, is what I do.
Okay. You give it a squeeze with your fingertips?
I'd use a spoon. With the spoon. But of course, obviously, the worst case scenario, you dig a bit too hard and then it bursts in the cup and then you start all over again.
Yeah, it's a
whole... But say in the morning, the first thing I do is put the tea bag in the tea and then I go and do other things while that, you know, stews away for a while.
Yeah, but I've noticed you do that around the office as well.
We do.
You'll leave your tea and then you'll wander away and...
I put the tea bag and then go to the toilet and come back again. I have washed my hands, by the way.
That means you're infusing for quite a period.
Yeah, I'm a big infuser. Yeah.
Well, my dad says that tea should be strong enough for a mouse to run across the top of the mug.
Yeah, trot a horse off a kind of thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And another thing, apparently you don't need to boil... the water. It just needs to be hot. I think in Ireland that's the thing, that we feel it has to boil or it's not proper.
Okay. Sean, I'm going to stop you there, because I know that there's a lot of your listeners around the country now who are pulling their hair out after what you just said. It's a very American thing to serve tea with warm water.
Oh, I don't mean warm, but it doesn't need to reach boiling, is my point.
It does need to be boiled. Not for coffee, but for tea, it has to be boiling, no?
No.
Otherwise, it won't infuse properly.
Oh, no, the boiling is not... Sure, I mean, it's not boiling as soon as you pour it into the cup anyway.
Yeah, but it's just hot. It's boiling adjacent. come here, tell me this. What about scalding? Now, scalding used to be a big thing in this country, but nowadays people don't scald the pot.
Yeah.
But even people still scald the mug. Like, if you don't scald the mug, the water that you pour into the mug is immediately going to drop in temperature and your infusion won't be as powerful as it could have been.
That's it. Well, there's an interesting thing about the temperature, because, my cup of tea journey, to use a word I hate, is that when I've got it and I put milk in it, and I wouldn't put a lot of milk into it, it's a little bit too hot. But when I'm about two or three sips in, it's reached optimum temperature when you get the full tea flavor from it, and it usually lasts until the end, unless I get distracted, and then there's a gulp at the end, which is lukewarm, which is disgusting.
I know. I knew a man. We used to be friends, and then we weren't, because he used to put his milk into the mug first, and then he'd put the tea and the boiling water in. Extraordinary behavior.
It is. And why? It didn't make any... Well, it wouldn't make any difference, but it's... Ew.
I don't know. It was some sort of strange ritual that he had.
Well, I suppose we shouldn't judge. But we just did.
But we just did. So, yeah, that brings us back to Ireland. Now, Sean, as I said about this Irish Independent article, my understanding from my research is that the tea bag arrived in this country in the late 1950s. I'm open to correction, but that's the research that I have found. That's the evidence. You know, I'm always looking for evidence. This is a very scientific slot, and that's what I'm going with. Now, we know that in the early 1970s, the two great rivals of the tea-making business in this country, being Barry's of Princes Street mm-hmm. in County Cork, first blended in 1901 on that street. And Lyons, the Lyons family, started blending on High Street, very close to where we are here in this studio, beside Christchurch Cathedral. They started blending in 1902. So the two companies...
Barry's was first.
Yeah. Okay. The two companies started blending very much at the same time and importing. But it was Lyons that had a really game-changing moment with tea in this country. And I wonder, do any of our listeners of a certain vintage remember this? But in the early 70s, they launched a round tea bag.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that. And, you know, what's the point?
Well, that's the whole thing. Now, there was probably some gobbledygook about how it helps the tea show taste better or what. It
tastes rounder.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was the same company that launched the pyramid tea bag several decades later. Why bother? Mm. But what's interesting is that round tea bag in the 70s had a profound impact on the sales of Lyons tea in this country. Yeah. It just goes to show how advertising and marketing gimmicks can play a really important role. Their sales leaped and they've been the market leader ever since. I mean, there's no, you know, I know there's a rivalry between these two and people have their opinions, but Lyons has the Lyons share of the market, yes. if for want of use of a better word. And it's all down to the round tea bag, let's be honest.
Load of people texting in. The thing you originally described, this kind of metal tea bag contraption, saying they have them. You can get them. I bought my dad something similar in a kitchen shop not so long ago. Paul says, I've one of those metal tea enclosed spoon thingies. Brilliant, says another texter. Florence says, I use the metal tea bag all the time with loose Barry's tea. Astonishing flavour, she says. That is extraordinary. That really is.
Well, it's really interesting that your listeners are saying that, because one of the big issues with early tea bags, Sean, is that people often turned up their noses at them, and not because they were too convenient, but because of the flavour. Because early filter paper tea bags, people complained that they could taste the paper or that they could taste the chemicals in the paper, or even more worrying still, they could taste the toxic glue that held the paper together.
And I was surprised, like, it was only recently, as in the last couple of years, when they've said you can compost tea bags. I always assumed you could.
Well, Barry's announced, I think it was just in the last year, Barry's announced that their tea bags are completely plastic free. So, yeah, you can't be putting plastic in the compost bin, obviously, but now they seem to be compostable. But one thing that illustrates what I was saying about this taste of the tea bags is Lipton's, which is still the biggest tea company in the world, mind, because they're owned by Unilever and they own PG Tips and all the rest as well. I don't think anyone really drinks Lipton's in this country, but they were a pioneer in the early 50s when they launched their tea bag. But they said in the ad, this utterly different type of tea bag guarantees you pure tasteless filter paper. You taste only the pure tea flavor. So it goes to show that there was a big issue at that time with people buying cheap tea bags that tasted of glue.
Denise says, I once broke up with a bloke for putting his milk in the cup first. Good for you, Denise. You dodged a bullet. Simon, thanks a million as ever. Simon Tierney there. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News.
Moncrief on News Talk.